Open your Bibles to the book of Mark, the 12th chapter. Mark chapter 12 in your Schofield Reference Bible, page 1062. And we'll be reading starting with the 28th verse through the 34th verse. We'll read the verses responsively. Mark chapter 12, verses 28 through 34. The text verse is verse 30. Let's stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God, as we always do here at First Baptist. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" And Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God. Thou shalt love the Lord with thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." And the scribe said unto him, "Well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." Let's read the 34th together. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, "Thou art not far from the kingdom of God." And no man after that durst ask him any question. Without your turning to it, I'll read one additional verse from Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7. "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee." And let's pray. Father, what a book we have. We thank you for your preserved word. We thank you that we here at First Baptist have a church where thy word is revered and honored and preached and taught, for we regard it as the very truth. We pray that you'd bless now in this hour, as once again we are privileged to hear it preached. The man of God needs thee. The people of God need thee. We need thy presence and thy help. Meet with us, we pray, in thy power, in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'm using two scriptures this morning as my text verses. I'm taking one little line out of Mark 12:30, which says, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy mind." And then Proverbs 23:7, "As he thinketh in his heart, so is he." Now, here at First Baptist, I ask you, always look at me. I'll ask you not to take notes while I'm preaching. This morning, I'm going to give you a little tip that will enrich your life every day. I'm going to speak this morning on mindless loving and heartless thinking. Think about it. Mindless loving and heartless thinking. Now, it said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God," and I read a while ago, "with all thy mind." Now, you know that the heart is the seat of affections. That's where you're supposed to love, is with the heart. Then it says, "As a man thinketh in his heart." Well, you don't think in your heart, you think with your mind. But the Bible says, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy mind." And it says, "As he thinketh in his heart, so is he." I hope you listen. Not a revolutionary thing as far as visibility is concerned, but I'll tell you, I'll enrich your life 7 days a week if you'll get this truth this morning. I'm going to speak on the subject mindless loving and heartless thinking. "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy mind. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." Before I pray, let me give an illustration. Lee Robertson is a patriarch. We all agree on that. He's one standing above all. Pastor School, a year or so ago, he was sitting over here on the front row, right? Some chairs in front of him, but on the front pew. And he sat there like that. That's the way he listens. Like that. all during the service. And all of a sudden, something happened, and I saw Lee Robertson do something I'd never seen him do. He gets his Bible. He holds it up like that. He stands up on that pew right there, 85 years old. Stands up on that pew right there and begins to wave his Bible like that. That's not likely. Oh, yes, it is. I want to tell you why today. Father, bless me so I can bless these that I love so dearly, with whom I've served and for whom I've preached and to whom I've ministered for these now going on 38 years. Bless this hour to our people, to their edification, to the enjoyment, enrichment of their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen very carefully. I think I'll use this. And listen to me very, very carefully. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy mind. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now, I'll be the very first to say that you think with your mind. And I'll be the very first to say that you love with your heart. Anybody that knows the word heart in the Greek language knows that it means the seat of affection. As I've said before, some nations, the heart is not the seat of affection. We say, I love you with all my heart. There are people in the world that think the liver is the seat of affection, and the sweetheart says to the sweetheart, I love you with all my liver. Now, that has moved me a bit. But I love you all my liver. Then there are others who think the kidneys are the seat of affection, and there are places where girlfriends heard their boyfriends last night say, I love you with all my kidneys. Now, but in the Bible, the word heart, listen to me now, in the Bible, the word heart is the seat of affection. And yet the Bible says, as he thinketh in his heart, not his mind, but as he thinketh in his heart. And then, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy mind. Wait a minute. You love the Lord with your heart. It says that, but it also says love him. Turn me down just a bit. P.A.M.N., would you please listen to me? P.A.M.N. Turn me down, please, just a bit. Stay right there for a few minutes till I get adjusted, if you would, please. Now, the truth is, in these passages, it teaches us that you're supposed to love the Lord thy God with thy mind. And as he thinketh in his heart, so, turn me down just a bit, please, so is he. It all sounds absurd. I think the problem here, most of the world's problems can be solved right here. Because we have what I call mindless loving. We limit our love to the heart. But the Bible says, get the love up into the mind also. We limit our thinking to the mind. But the Bible says, get your thinking down into the heart also. As a man thinketh with his heart, not just his mind. As a man loveth with his mind, not just with his heart. So, somewhere in here is cause and the cure for our ills. Somewhere this morning, sitting in this building, there's a person that criticizes anybody that gets up, hollers, glory to God, amen. And you're guilty of heartless loving. Somewhere this morning is somebody going to say amen because of the tune to a song. Now, you're guilty of mindless loving, and the other's heartless thinking. Now, so let me illustrate. On one side is the charismatic who shouts at the beat of a song. That's mindless loving. On the other side is the logical stuffed shirt who knows theology but never sends the truth to his heart. And that's heartless thinking. Now what I want is I want a heart that thinks and I want a mind that loves. So on one side is a young person who smells some perfume, sees some beauty, hears some soft music and thinks he's in love. That's mindless loving. He's fallen in love. Better jump in love, fellows. Don't fall in love. Better jump in love. That's mindless. That's mindless loving. On the other side is the cold, passionless mate who loves but seldom tells it or allows himself to feel it. That's heartless thinking. On one side is the impetuous person who says amen at the pounding of the pulpit. That's mindless loving. On the other side is the critic who follows the entire sermon and feels no emotion. That's heartless thinking. On one side is the dusty theologian. That's heartless thinking. On the other side is the lazy zealot, and that's mindless loving. What God wants is God wants us to realize how good he is and have a spell about it. God wants us to realize our names are written in heaven and throw a fit.
God wants us to know that our sins are forgiven, that he does not impute our sins to our record, and our sins have been forgotten from the mind of God and buried as deep as the deepest sea. And with that kind of realization, then it reaches your mind, it sends it down to your heart, and your heart hears what the mind says. Here's the answer. I'm going to give you four statements. Number one is, the mind gives permission to the heart to be happy. The heart says, can I shout now? And the mind says, not yet. Not yet. The heart says, now? The mind says, no, you can't shout yet. No. I've got to realize some things here before I can send permission. Actually, it's like a purchase order. In our system at First Baptist Church, you can't buy anything without a purchase order. Here at the church, our school's the same way. We have financial secretaries. And before you can purchase anything, you've got to go to that financial secretary and find if there's enough money in that particular budget item for you to make that purchase. And then she gives you a purchase order, and that means it's okay now to purchase that. And that's what the mind. The mind is the financial secretary. And the heart says, can I have a spell now? And the mind says, all you've heard is the introduction of that song on the instrument. But the heart says, I tingle, I want to have it. And the mind says, hold it now. Wait till it gets down to that part. The old account was settled long ago. And the mind says, now. And the heart says, hot dog. And the heart is rejoicing because the mind sent it a truth, you see. Now, on one side in America, you got a bunch of people shouting for nothing. On the other side, you got a bunch of folks sitting for something. You got a bunch of folks hearing blessed truth, the great doctrines of the faith, the great wonders of the gospel, and sitting there with no emotion whatsoever. And then on the other side, you got a bunch of people who are shouting and clapping their hands because a bass fiddle is playing and the guy is shaking while he does it. Now, I'm trying to tell you somewhere, ladies and gentlemen, in between there, between this mindless loving and heartless thinking, is a truth that can help you to be enriched in the Christian life, unbelievably so. The mind gives permission to the heart to be happy. Number two, the heart only feels that which the mind knows and realizes. Dr. Robertson sat there that night and didn't shout. Other fellows were shouting. Guy could get up and say, long live the Pope. And the guy would say, praise the Lord. Guy could get up and say, praise God for Michael Jordan. Amen, amen, amen. But Dr. Robertson sat there and started soaking in. We were having that deal about the Bible that night. Coming down here with these false Bibles, you know. And boy, when the King James Bible came and up there in that balcony, whatever that is right there. We haven't used it in years. I forget what it is. But that baptistry, all of a sudden, the car came. Oh, I found the stone. And down came the King James Bible. And up came Lee Robertson. You know why? Because Lee Robertson's head said, wow, I've got the Bible. And he believes what I believe about the King James Bible, in case you'd like to know. And all of a sudden, his mind gave permission from his head to shout, hey, some of you people ought to send a message down to your heart and tell your heart what your mind's thinking about. I said, number one, the mind gives permission to the heart to be happy. Number two, the heart only feels that which the mind knows and realizes. Number three, the heart refuses to respond to anything but the mind. The heart refuses to respond to anything but the mind. The heart does not respond to a sound. The heart does not respond to a beat. That's what they do in the nightclubs. The heart responds to a truth. Number four. The mind refuses to let the truth stop there. The mind says to the heart, hey, reach up and grab this. And he stuffs it down to the heart. And the mind says, I don't want the truth to stay here. I want the truth to get in the heart. And the heart says, send it on down. And all of a sudden you stop and realize that your name is written in heaven. And God will not impute your sins against you. And God is your Father. Bible is your book. Heaven's your home. Christ is your Savior. Holy Spirit is your power. All of a sudden in the mind, you get to realize in the good things of God. That's the way you ought to love your wife. Realize what a great gal she is. That way you'll love her when she's fat or skinny. Realize the faithfulness to you all these years. Realize the fact that she gave birth to your children. Realize the fact that she's reared the children for you. Realize the fact that she's cooked the meals and burned a few, but she's cooked the meals. And she's kept the house clean. All of a sudden, your mind says, that's a good gal. That beats perfume, and that beats a bunch of extra makeup. I'm trying to tell you, America needs to stop and realize the goodness of God, and then the heart has permission to have a spell. I was preaching at a camp meeting, and I got preaching, and I said, there's a hell. Boy, they hollered, amen. I said, there's fire in hell. Amen. I said, that fire is forever. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. I said, that fire is unquenchable. Amen. I said, the lost sinner shall be there. Amen. I said, the saved person shall be there. Amen. Glory to God. They didn't know what I was saying. I was just kicking a few microphones over, and they got happy about it. No, I said, Jesus saves. Amen. Holler amen. Jesus saves.
Amen.
Every time I say something, I say amen. This is exactly what happened to the camp meeting. Jesus saves.
Amen.
Jesus saves.
Amen.
Michael Jordan saves.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Liz Taylor saves.
Amen.
Yes, sir. That's right. And Michael Jackson saves. And Bill Clinton saves. They didn't know what I was saying. They were hollering, amen, Lord of God, hallelujah. One guy was running down the altar having praised the Lord, and I was saying, Liz Taylor saves, Marilyn Monroe saves, Dennis Rodman saves. Now, that's, I said, say amen. I said, you got to get born again to go to heaven, amen. I said, you got to get baptized to go to heaven, amen. I said, you got to join the church to go to heaven. Amen. You got to take the Holy Eucharist to go to heaven. Amen. You got to confess your sins to a priest to go to heaven. Amen. You got to live a perfect life to go to heaven. Amen. 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 Now, that's what you call mindless loving. The very next week, I was preaching at a university, a Christian university. The president of the university said, we do not say amen here. Well, I was sitting up there, and the fellow was preaching before me. He was preaching some great doctrine. He wasn't excited about it, but I was. And the president said, you're not supposed to say amen here. And boy, he got up and talked about justification, and I got screaming in my seat. That's what you call heartless loving. Mindless loving rather than heartless thinking. And I spoke at a Christian camp. And the director of the camp got up and said, we don't like amens here. And I sat there, and this guy was teaching some of the best Bible doctrine I ever heard in my life. Now listen, I'm not the kind, a song, you can, a beat does not get in my spine. I'm not a musician. I'm colorblind and tone deaf. At least I'm not a hypocrite. No sing in the choir. A tune does not turn me on. A chord does not stir me up. But praise God, when I stop and realize that I'll never go to hell, I'll live in heaven forever and walk down golden streets and down gates of pearl. Your problem is that your Christianity has never gotten down in your heart. You got it in the mind. It's never gone to the heart. Other folks have got it in the heart. It's never gone to the mind. And America, the Christianity in America today is dying because of what I call mindless loving and heartless thinking. Next week, I went to a Bible conference where I was preaching. I said, salvation is free, not a grunt. I said, we're justified by faith as if you'd never sinned, not a grunt. I said, our sins are removed from God's book, erased, blotted out, not a grunt. I said, my sins are not imputed against me, and neither are yours. Not a grunt. baseball. One side over here, you got a bunch of folks shouting because of a beat. Other side, you got a bunch of folks pouting because of the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, I want First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana, not to ever get the place where we shout because, oh, for example, we sing, "Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Let us tell him all about our troubles. He will hear our..." Amen! Amen! Well, glory! And then somebody can sing, "Sweet Hour of Prayer. Sweet Hour of Prayer that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tempter's snare. Why, that's what stirs me. Bless God, sweet till from Mount Pisgah's lofty height, I view my home and take my flight. This robe of flesh I'll drop and rise and seize the everlasting pride and shout while passing through the air, farewell, farewell, sweet hour of prayer." I'm saying, you folks that shout to a beat, shut up. You folks that listen to the truth, and speak out and rejoice in the good things of God. I used to sing. I used to have in afternoons down in Texas, call them the singings. Texans called them singings. Have Sunday afternoon. Everybody go out in a little country church and have a singing. And the old Stamps Quartet songs. And boy, oh boy, they'd sing. "There's a little pine log cabin." That high tenor would go, "Cabin! Waiting down in Welcome Valley. There's an open door, and when the Roman's o'er, I'm going back home." And the bass sing, "Home. There's Mother daily praying. Waiting for my homeward," and this thing about heaven being a little pine log cabin. And they'd go wild. A little wild. And then somebody'd sing, "We all get to heaven," and everybody's quiet. "Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, he's prepared for me a place. I want to be one church in this country. I'm talking about the mega church. I'm talking about the big church. I want the one church in this country that's not a bunch of charismatic nuts. More interested in the tune than you are the blessed words of a song. I want to also be one church on the other side. Not a high church, ritualistic church. Can hear the great doctrines of God preached without getting happy. I'm saying, let your mind send a message down to your heart. Your name is in heaven. Your sins are forgiven. There's a home in heaven. Jesus is coming again. Abide with me. Fast fall the eventide. Come thy fount of every blessing. Tune my heart to sing thy praise. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor. Daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. But you like. I saw the wreck on the highway, and I didn't hear nobody pray. Amen! Oh, shut up. You sit there sometimes and you listen to these songs that don't stir your spine and think what they say. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation. Purchase of God. Born of his spirit. Lost in his love. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. I'm trying to say, America today on one side, mega churches all over America having a bunch of mindless loving, and other mega churches on the other side having a bunch of heartless thinking. May God raise up a church on this corner to send out preacher boys all over this nation and around the world whose mind realizes the goodness of God, sending messages to the heart, rejoicing in what God has done. I am. Let me illustrate. I was in the woods. I was praying. Opened my Bible to Romans 8. Started with verse 29. Just sat there. I read the Bible. I didn't go to the woods to shout. Went to the woods to think. Went in the woods to read the Bible. went in the woods to meditate. And I got thinking and reading, whom he did foreknow. And I sat there and I said, he foreknowed me. Whom he did foreknow. That means before there was ever a world, God knew there'd be a Jack Hiles. He is thinking about me before I ever thought about myself. He is thinking about me before there was ever a mountain or a valley, ever a tree or a fish or a beast of the field. His mind was on me, but that isn't all. He looked down by his foreknowledge and saw that a little poor boy in the ghettos of Southwest Dallas would kneel outside the back door of the church one Sunday night and say, if you'll take a little barefoot boy who's the son of the neighborhood drunk, I'll take you as my Savior. And God looked down and saw that I'd do that. He knew it! And I said, whoopee. I said, rah, rah. I'd settle for some of that much out of some of you. Just before you die, I'd like for you to wave a finger and say, hot dog. He foreknew me. And I kept on reading. It says, whom he did foreknow. It says, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. And I got to thinking. He, way back yonder, before there was ever a world, he knew I was going to be there. And he looked down by his foreknowledge and saw me getting saved. So he said, I think I'll make him like Jesus someday. And my heart said, can I shout? My mind said, go ahead. And I was out there in the woods. Nobody there but the birds and the deer. I was out there in the woods. I was getting primed up. I'm sort of like a football player. I do a little calisthenics before the game. I get sort of primed up before I do the real big league stuff. I kept on reading. It says, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. God looked down and saw that I was going to get saved, and by his foreknowledge, he saw that little boy, and God said, I think I'll make him like my son someday. But he said, and God knew what was going to happen, but he went ahead and called me. He convicted me, and I trusted him. Then he also called, and I got saved, and God knew about it. And then I kept on reading. Then whom he called, then he also justified. And I found out that justification is, in the sight of God, my record is just as if I'd never sinned. My record's as white as can be. My record's just as blameless as the record of Jesus Christ. He will not impute my sins, but has imputed his righteousness to my account. And all of a sudden, I was out there in the woods, and I said, good night. He foreknew me, and I said, he called me. And I said, before there was ever a world, he justified me. Don't just sit there, feel something. You're justified. Justified in the sight of God Almighty. So I kept on reading. I was getting all primed up. It says, whom he justified, them he also glorified. And I got thinking, before there was ever a world, he knew me. Before there's ever a world, he predestinated I'd be conformed to the image of his son. Before there was ever a world, he went ahead and called me. Before there was ever a world, my name was written in the book of life. Before there was ever a world, Jesus, in the mind of God, had gone to Calvary and paid the penalty, a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Before there was ever a world, he justified me. And before there was ever a world, he glorified me. That's past tense. He also glorified. That means God had my glorified body all hanging up in the closet for me before there was ever a world. And man, I started running. Out there in the forest preserve over there, and it's inside Illinois, I started running. I saw three deer standing there. And I said, did you hear that? They didn't say anything. But I said, did you hear that? I said, before there was ever a world, he saw me. He foreknew me. He called me. He predestined me to be conformed to the image of his son. He justified me, and he glorified me. And my heart said, I'm about to die down here. Can I feel it? And my mind said, go ahead. You've got a purchase order. Just live it up. And then I got down there to verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Nobody. Nobody can put a sin against my record because it's been paid for. Jesus paid it all. And I read that over again. Now, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? who shall lay anything? I'm not suggesting that some of these, that we copy some of these charismatic people that don't know a thing about the Bible. All they know is a few verses, and they get slain in the spirit. I think if all of them got slain, it might be a good idea. But yeah, I'm not suggesting that. Neither am I suggesting this deep, dry, deeper life study of the great truths of God without getting excited about it. I'm trying to tell you, let's ask God to forgive us for our mindless loving and our heartless thinking. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Love the Lord thy God with thy mind. Know why you love him and think and meditate about the good things of God Almighty. Now this morning, if you're here and you're not saved, let me have your mind a minute. Some of you folks don't even know you're going to heaven. I can have you shouting by 12:30. You listen carefully to me. Hear me carefully. If you're here this morning and you never trusted Christ, you don't know that you're saved. Every dirty sin you ever committed is right smack dab in front of God Almighty this morning. I said every sin you've ever committed is recorded in God's eternal books. Listen carefully. I got some other good news for you. God looked down and saw that on the record there, let me show you, look down and saw on the record there your sins. He also saw that your sins have a price tag on them. The wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. For as by one man sin entered in the world, and death by sin. The soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. I'm saying this morning, if you're not saved, there's a mark. Every sin you've committed against your record. But number two, Jesus Christ came and became sin for you. Born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, so he owed no sin debt of his own. Went to Calvary, had no debts charged against him, so he put your debts against his own record and paid the penalty in full for your sin debt. And you don't have to go to hell. Now, don't you tell me, you truck drivers that drive up and down the road, don't you tell me you've never thought about hell. Don't you tell me every time you come close to having a wreck or one of your fellows is killed, friends, don't you tell me you don't think of what's going to happen when you die. Don't you tell me that. Don't you say there's ever tell me that you don't think about someday you're going to have to face God. Don't tell me that. I'm saying, but today, truck driver, when you get in that cab this afternoon, you can be saved from the fires of hell forever. And you can have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and every sin, and God knows truck drivers have more sins than anybody else in the world. Every sin you've committed, every time you've gone 75 miles an hour and a 55 mile zone, he'll erase it. I won't, but he will. Think about it a minute. Anybody in this room this morning, sinner, under the condemnation of God, can walk out of this room with your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, knowing that you'll never go to hell, knowing that you'll live in heaven forever, knowing that your sins have been erased and God will never impute a sin against your record because Jesus paid the penalty for all those sins. An old illustration. Without soul winning one night, Garland, Texas. Went to a family's house named Davis. I started preaching at the Plan of Salvation. All of a sudden, he started hollering, "I feel it, I feel it, I feel it. I feel it, I feel it, I feel it, I feel it." I like to say, "I read it, I read it, I read it, I read it." He said to his wife, he said, you want to feel it too. So she started praying the sinner's prayer. He said, "You feel it yet? You feel it yet? You feel it yet?" They all got saved, I guess, and they all started shouting, and they had an old camp meeting revival. Went to the next door. His name was Winfred Brewer, next house. Big old fellow, looked like a bulldog. He leaned up, he opened the door, leaned up against the door. Never sat down. I sat in the sofa. I said, "Mr. Brewer, do you know if you died, you go to heaven?" He said, "Nope." "Would you like to know?" "Yep." "If I showed you how you could know, would you do it?" "Yep." I wanted to say, "Man, feel something. Good night." I said, I showed him Romans 3:23. I showed him that all men are sinners. "You realize you're a sinner?" "Yep." I showed him Romans 6:23 and 5:12. "You know the price on sin?" "Yep." I showed him Romans 6:23, the gift of God's eternal life. I showed him Romans 5:8, God committed his love toward us while you're sinners, Christ died for us. I showed him the gospel. I said, now you understand you're a sinner? Yep. Understand you go to hell if you died? Yep. Understand Jesus paid the penalty? Yep. You believe you trusted him as your Savior and Savior? Yep. I'll be quite frank with you. I almost backslid right there telling him how to be saved. I almost forgot how to be saved myself. I said, could I pray? Yep. He's still leaning against the door. I said, say, dear God, forgive my sins, save my soul. I was trying to get some emotion. Save my soul. I do now receive Jesus. He got through praying that prayer. Is he emotionless? I said, now, where'd you go if you died? Heaven. Are you saved? Yep. I want to say you ain't either. The Davises got saved, but you didn't. Yeah, except Winfred Brewer became one of the best soul winners in our church. And Winfred Brewer became a deacon in our church. And to this day, he's still serving God faithfully after all these many, many long years. And by the way, he became one of the happiest Christians you ever saw in your life. Brother, when your questions ask, are your sins forgiven? You can say, yep. And your heart says, now. Mine says, go ahead on. Let me ask you a question. You say, why don't I enjoy my salvation like some? Because you're trying to get the feeling from the heart. You think in your heart. And you love with your mind. And so this morning I come and say, if you want to have a rich Christian life, I'm an emotional person. I'm an affectionate person. But perfume just doesn't turn me on. I mean, I can go down and buy some at the store. And I guess hug the counter there. Some of you fellows need to stop and think today what that woman's done for you. Then you'll kill her. And some of you women need to stop and think how hard that man has worked to pay the bills, keep you fed. Been a hard-working man, husband, father. And all of you people need to stop and realize today Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Won't you go out happy this morning? Why don't you? Not happy because something hits you in the spine. Oh, feel it. No, think it. Why don't you stop and realize this morning if you'd walk down this aisle and say yes to Christ, realizing that you're a sinner. Sinners are condemned to the fires of hell. But Jesus became your sin and became your condemnation for you and paid in full the price for your sins. And if you'll receive him and trust him, rely upon him to take you to heaven, the moment you do that, you'll become a child of God, your name written in heaven, and Jesus becomes your Savior and the Creator of the universe becomes your Heavenly Father. We have a generation of mindless loving and heartless thinking. As a man thinketh in his heart, not just his mind. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy mind. Not just with the heart. Let your love go from the heart to the mind and back to the heart. And let your mind send messages to the heart. This morning, if you're here and you never trusted Christ, in just a few moments, choir's going to sing and we're all going to stand. I want you to walk down the aisle that's nearest you or have seven sets of stairs in the balcony. Walk down one of those sets of stairs down to the front. There'll be a man at the end of every aisle here that can help you know for sure your sins are forgiven. And you can walk out of this place this morning not shouting because you're slain in the Spirit, but because you're taught in the Spirit the truth of the blessed Word of God. And you can walk out of this room saying, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven when I die. I'm a child of God and my sins have been washed away in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. That's why I love the old songs. Majestic sweetness sits enthroned upon the Savior's brow. I love that. Abide with me, fast fall the eventide. I love that. I love it. I love it.
There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. I love it. Come, thy fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy praise. I'm not for an emotionless Christianity. Neither am I for an unintelligent emotion. I'm not for mindless loving and heartless thinking. As a man thinketh in his heart, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy mind. Shall we bow our heads for prayer? No one leaving, please. Everyone still in quiet. Here, the shimmer's in it. Hurry now, but the whole fire's in the heel, Papa.